Open your Bibles, if you would, to the book of Exodus, chapter 19. It's where we're going to begin. The title of our sermon today is entitled, Finding Out What Is Blank, Blank, Blank. In other words, it's simply finding out what is. When we think about Israel and they were coming to this place of Mount Sinai, how many of them had any idea or inkling what was going to transpire? I don't think any of them did. I don't even think Moses knew what was going on. They knew they were to go, but they had no idea what was going on. They had no idea what was going to transpire, what was going to take place. And God brought them through the desert to the Red Sea, through the Red Sea, and then again through the desert, through trial and tribulation, until he got them to this place where they were at the foot of his mountain, and then God begins to talk to them, because it was time for them to find out what is. It's time for us to find out what is. So many of us go through our lives every day acting as if we know everything that's coming our way, and the reality is, we have no idea what is. We have no idea what is about to be and what's going to come. But we know the one who does, and he gives us rules to follow so that as those things come into our lives, we can continue to walk with him and know his grace. Read with me chapter 19 in the book of Exodus, beginning in the first verse. In the third month after the Israelites left Egypt, on the very day they came to the desert of Sinai, after they set out from Rephidim, they entered the desert of Sinai, and Israel camped there in the desert in front of the mountain. Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain and said, "This is what you are to say to the house of Jacob and what you are to tell the people of Israel. You yourselves have seen what I did to Egypt and how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all nations you will be my treasured possession. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words you are to speak to the Israelites." So Moses went back and summoned the elders of the people and set before them all the words the Lord had commanded him to speak. The people all responded together, "We will do everything the Lord has said." So Moses brought their answer back to the Lord. And the Lord said to Moses, "I am going to come to you in a dense cloud so that all the people will hear me speaking with you and will always put their trust in you." Then Moses told the Lord what the people had said. And the Lord said to Moses, "Go to the people and consecrate them today and tomorrow. Blessed be the word of the Lord." These people came out to Mount Sinai. They knew when they left Egypt that they were supposed to go into the desert. They had no idea how far they were going, but they were going into the desert to worship God. They came as a mass of people, but they weren't ready. They were not prepared. They had no idea what it meant to come before a holy God. Number one, they had not even known his name up until this time, and you know, they finally got his name, so they're beginning a relationship. How do we come to the Lord? How did you come to the Lord today? You knew that today you were going to come to a place of worship. When you got up this morning, were you bright-eyed and cheery and jumping out of bed and spry and spree and ooh-hoo-hoo, here we go, going to go see the Lord today? Or was it, "Oh, man, I wish that alarm clock would give me just 10 more minutes. Just 5 more minutes." How many of you hit the snooze at least once today? The reality is, are we prepared to see God? Do we come prepared on Sunday mornings to see God? Do you prepare your day, any day of the week, to see God? So many of us don't. we don't realize that God says there's a way that you need to come to me. There is a way that you need to come into my presence. And that way is through Jesus Christ. We know that now. These people had no idea what that meant. And sometimes I don't even think we know what that means. Because as we're going to read here, coming up in just a few moments, there's a cleansing that has to take place. And that cleansing is not just a physical cleansing, but a spiritual cleansing. But my most important aspect here right now is I want you to look back and remember what God said to these people. As they were coming to him, he reminded them of who they were and who he was. He says to them in verse number 4, I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. How many of you think Israel actually thought at this point in time, now they had just been through a war, remember? They had been through a couple of distresses where they didn't have meat. They've been hungry. They've been thirsty, okay, grumbling against God. And they had to walk all this way. So how many of you think that they felt God got them there? How many of you think in your life God got you here? Or did you do it? It's so amazing. We'll say the right thing in church. Okay? We'll say, oh, well, we know, Pastor, we know God got us here. But when we're at work talking to the guys or ladies, when we're standing around at lunchtime at conversing at our meal place, does our language speak that reality that God has gotten us here? Or do we find ourselves tied right back to the world, just as the children here this morning found themselves tied up? There's an important concept coming up here in just a few moments that I think I need to understand and know. And it's so amazing because I've read the book of Exodus so many times, but it's only been in these last weeks and months that the Lord has really opened my eyes up, because we're here. We're walking this stuff. We're doing this stuff in a very real way. And it's not just stuff. God is allowing us. Did you just hear that word? God is allowing us to come to know him in a very new and real way. And are you going to participate? Are you going to get yourself ready? The second thing I want us to look at is Moses here is told to go and consecrate the people today and tomorrow. This is not an easy preparation. This is not something that, well, we just, you know, hey, 15 minutes and we're done. This is a two-day preparation. There's some investment here in getting ready to see God, to understand God, to know God. There's an investment here. Are you willing to invest what God wants you to invest to get to know him? Here we're talking a two-day period of time, and there's going to be some things that they need to go through. Are you willing to go through the things that you need to go through in your own life to truly get to know God? Are you willing to consecrate yourself? What does consecrate mean? Consecrate means to set apart, to be set apart, okay? And God wants us to consecrate ourselves unto him, to set ourselves apart unto God, holy and pleasing unto him. Well, number one, we don't even know how to do that until he tells us, do we? How do we do that, Lord? Well, God's getting ready to tell us. Follow with me, if you will, from where we left off. Have them wash their clothes and be ready by the third day, because on that day the Lord will come down on Mount Sinai. In the sight of all the people, put limits for the people around the mountain and tell them, be careful that you do not go up the mountain or touch the foot of it. Whoever touches the mountain shall surely be put to death. He shall surely be stoned or shot with arrows. Not a hand is to be laid on him. Whether man or animal, he shall not be permitted to live. Only when the ram's horn sounds a long blast may they go up to the mountain. After Moses had gone down the mountain to the people, he consecrated them, and they washed their clothes. Then he said to the people, prepare yourselves for the third day. Abstain from sexual relations. On the morning of the third day, there was thunder and lightning and a thick cloud over the mountain. and a very loud trumpet blast. Everyone in camp trembled. Then Moses led the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the foot of the mountain. Mount Sinai was covered with smoke because the Lord descended on it with fire. The smoke billowed up from it like smoke from a furnace. The whole mountain trembled violently, and the sound of the trumpet grew louder and louder. Then Moses spoke, and the voice of God answered him. The Lord descended to the top of Mount Sinai and called Moses to the top of the mountain. So Moses went up, and the Lord said to him, "Go down and warn the people so that they do not force their way through to see the Lord, and many of them perish. Even the priests who approach the Lord must consecrate themselves, or the Lord will break out against them." Moses said to the Lord, "The people cannot come up the Mount Sinai, because you yourself warned us, put limits around the mountain and set it apart as holy." The Lord replied, "Go down and bring Aaron up with you, but the priests and people must not force their way through to come up to the Lord, or he will break out against them." So Moses went down to the people and told them. When you look at these words, can you imagine how the people felt on that day when the Lord descended in power upon Mount Sinai? I tremble as I read it. I don't know how you feel about it. I tremble as I read it because I think to myself, I've never seen the full glory of God. I have never seen or felt the fullness of His presence in such a very real and physical way that the ground around me literally trembled at His coming. The earth was responding to its Maker. The earth was trembling. And yet, when we enter in before the Lord, is there any trembling? Or do we simply enter in as if, "I'm home," and expect somebody to answer? Do we come in that appropriate manner? Remember, Moses was told that if anybody even touches the foot of the mountain, they're to be killed. Why? Because that's a holy place. And if you come in an unholy manner, death is sure to follow. Do we take such an advantage of the Lord that we simply enter in with all our junk and don't even think about the consequences? I'm amazed when I look at our world, and you've all seen this. How many of you have watched TV? You've seen a program where they're talking about different things, and people just act as if there is absolutely nothing that they are doing that is wrong. "Well, I'm normal." Well, if you're normal, I'm glad I'm abnormal. Because it's not right. And yet, everyone wants to be accepted. They want us to accept everything. Our government wants us to accept stuff that I can't swallow because it's not right in the eyes of the Lord. And it's going to get tougher and tougher to be a Christian. And when we come to the Lord Himself, is there going to be trembling? Are we going to look at who we are, and are we going to tremble? Or are we going to walk in, you know, like, "Here comes the clowns." Because oftentimes I think that's what happens in the church. We don't come before the Lord in a reverent manner. These people had no idea. And folks, I don't want to beat anybody up, okay? We get so used to doing what we do. How many of you, you know, in the morning, you've got a ritual that you go through every morning? You know, we used to live with an elderly gentleman. God, I loved him. I really did. The Lord used him to teach me humility. My wife's already sitting over there. Oh, my goodness. You know. The Lord used this gentleman, Emmert Schweitzer. He's passed, and I really miss him. I really miss him. My dad came down with cancer. My wife's father came down with cancer, and he came down with cancer all at the same time. And then, of course, you all know Russell came down with cancer after that. And we lost my dad and her dad. And Emmert is my wife's sister's father-in-law, and he's the one that survived for years. And then he became the one to take care of us, that we lived in his home. Isn't God amazing? But that old man had a ritual. Oh my goodness. Every morning, and we all knew it. You get up, you go in, you go to the bathroom, you go over, you shower and complain. Why do I got to get a bath? I didn't do anything to get dirty. You still get your bath. And you go out, you get dressed, you sit at the kitchen table, and you get a half a grapefruit. As soon as that half a grapefruit's done, the same bowl, same spoon, half a bowl of, what was that called, dear? No, not Wheaties. Oh, my heavens. The cereal that tastes like cardboard. No, it's a type of cereal, not in that definite name, but bran cereal. Had to have bran cereal. Got to get my bran. Need my fiber, it was. Got his bran cereal, and then when he was done, and only when he was done with his cereal, then he got one cup of black coffee and six, not five, not seven, six, ginger snaps every morning. We knew that man for the 4 years, 4.5 years I was in college, lived with him, and every morning it was the same. And we are the same. We come in a certain way and we don't even realize we're doing it. And God says, I want you to come on my terms. I want you to know who I am. I am holy and I am set apart. If you just come unto me with all your junk, you're going to die. Don't you understand what sin has done to you? It has tied you up and I have no choice. For sin cannot come before me. This is the Lord speaking, not Pastor Rich. And we all know it. And God says, but I want you to come. You just can't come all the way. You can't come to the mountain. Don't touch the mountain. Stay at a distance. I'll talk loud. But you can only come so far. Because if you come too close, I have to destroy you. But come. He's constantly crying out, come. I'm here. Come. Not too close. But then the Lord, Jesus, our beloved Savior, he came. And he said, Lord, he said, Father, I love them too. And I'll go. I'll take their place. I'll be their consecration, Father. They have no idea how to prepare themselves. They don't know what holy is. But I do. And I know what's needed. And I'll pay the price for them. That they can not only come to the foot of the mountain, but they can come up the mountain and meet you face to face. So Jesus came. And Jesus died on our behalf. And he became our sacrifice to cleanse us and make us holy. And through him and his righteousness, not only can we touch the foot of the mountain, but we can come into the very presence of God, right into the Holy of Holies, into the heart of Christ, and know the good, the love, the sustaining grace that only the Father can bring. Israel had no idea. They were still at the foot of the mountain. And the mountain was trembling and smoke and fire spewed forth from it. Can you imagine how these people felt with God right there in their midst? They were terrified. They were terrified. How do we know that? Let's read the Word. And God spoke all these words. I am the Lord your God. Please read these with me. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol in the form of anything in heaven above, or on the earth beneath, or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I am the Lord your God. I am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the fathers to the third and fourth generation, for those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commands. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. Remember the Sabbath by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son nor your daughter nor your manservant nor your maidservant, nor your animals, nor the alien within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them. But he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Honor your father and your mother, so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his manservant or maidservant, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. When the people saw the thunder and the lightning and heard the trumpet and saw the mountain in smoke, they trembled with fear. They stayed at a distance and said to Moses, "Speak to us yourself, and we will listen, but do not have God speak to us, or we will die." For the first time in Israel's life, they knew what sin was. You see, prior to this, there was no law. There was no way of knowing what pleased the Lord and what didn't please the Lord, what was right and what was wrong. There was only a sense of consciousness within self, and anyone could guess what was right and what was wrong. Kind of sounds like our world today, doesn't it? We get to determine. But God set down his Ten Commandments. I want you to look at something here, and it's something I never really, I never really paid any attention to it, because you read some of these things and you just kind of blow right by them. And the line we opened with is so important, because I used to think that Moses told these things to the people. God spoke them from Mount Sinai himself. God spoke them. How do I know that? Look at the first verse in chapter 20. And God spoke all these words. Can you imagine how Israel felt? Do you remember the children's sermon? The first little kid got that first one piece of string and snap. Woohoo, I'm free. But then the second one, it went around and around and around and around and around. Because as God spoke truth, as God spoke his holy ordinance, Israel knew they were dead. The words they spoke to Moses are a reality. For the first time, they realized they had no portion in God, that they could not come near, that to hear his voice would utterly kill them, because they now knew truth. They now knew sin. and they once again found themselves in bondage. And there was only one hope. And that hope was God Himself, that He would give them a way out. So the people said to Moses, "Go up and talk to Him. Talk to Him on our behalf. Because if we hear Him again, we know we'll die." After this, Moses went back up to the Lord. Next week, you're going to hear about what happened and all the law that came into being. Because everybody thinks that these are the only commandments that God gave. That God gave 10 commandments and the rest of the law was simply man-made. That is not true. There are man-made laws in the Bible that were added later. But the reality is, the major portion, there's 613 laws that God gave Moses besides the Ten Commandments. And the Israelite people have been put down for years because, well, you made 613 more laws. No, they didn't. God did. God gave us that word. This is either God's word or it's man's word. And it's God's word in my book. And therefore, God spoke it. And He spoke it through Moses because the people knew they could not stand before God because they were tied, they were trapped, and they had no way of coming to the Father. All that lay in store for them was death because finally they had seen themselves for who they really were. How are we, the church, looking at ourselves? Do we see ourselves for who we really are? Do we see ourselves in the mirror clearly? I am a sinner saved by grace. But once I begin walking in that grace, I'm not supposed to be a sinner anymore. I'm supposed to be a righteous and holy man, a man who understands what is right and what is wrong. When Jesus spoke to the woman who was caught in prostitution, He told her to go and sin some more, right? He told her to go and sin no more. Do we hear His words? Or do we keep putting Him back on the cross so we can get untied? Folks, He's not on the cross anymore. If you've accepted Him, He's come down from the cross. And He's now sitting at the right hand of God the Father on your behalf, on my behalf. And He has set us free once and for all. Why do we keep going back and getting ourselves tied up? We need to stop. We need to start walking holy lives and understanding what Israel understood. Because if we come into the presence of God, we surely will die. Does the church take that view of itself? Or do we take the view that we've been taught through conservatism and liberalism and all these other isms, which is our world lying to us and us buying the lies? Because the reality is, there's only one way to the Lord, and that's through His Word. His Word, His way. Jesus is His Word, right? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Dear brothers and sisters, today I'm challenging you. We're at Mount Sinai right now as a church. And the earth is trembling. You need to ask yourselves, what direction are we going to go? Who are we going to follow? What path will we take? God has spoken it to me, and I believe He's confirming it through our elders as they see it and look at it. I was going to bring it along today, but I didn't because I wanted to wait. God's given me a 2-year plan. Well, it's 2 years, actually 2.5 years since the inception of our church. I'm emailing it today. I was going to email it Friday, but I thought, no, I need to wait until today, because today the Lord is speaking. If I have your email, it's going to be in your email. So if you want it, make sure Ruth Ann has your information. Okay, Rut? So be over there and ready to get some email addresses that you don't have. Next week, I will have them here. I've been told it's an ambitious plan. I've been told it's a plan that, wow, I don't know if we're going to be able to do all these things. And I said, I don't think we can do any of it. Because if God's not doing it, I don't want to. And when you see it, you're going to look at it and you're going to say, but there's, well, this is missing and that's missing. That's where you need to be here tomorrow to pray. Because there are some things that are going to need filled in on this timeline. And this is where you need to pray, because God's given me the overall, but you are the church. You need to put your stuff and yourself, okay? And when I say your stuff, I don't mean your garbage. I don't want your junk. God doesn't want your junk, all right? And one of the things we're going to find out here a little bit later, Israel brought all the junk from Egypt, and God turned it into something else, and it was called the temple. God made all Israel's junk something holy. And isn't that an amazing thing that our God can do? He can take our junk and turn it into holiness. You need to ask yourselves today, are you ready to get rid of your junk and allow God to turn it into holiness? Because right now, if you and I are going to be honest about ourselves, we're tied up. And dare we hear God speak to us? Dare we come close, lest we die? I'm asking you today to set yourselves free. You're the only one who can do that. You need to look at yourself, look at where we are, with a leaky roof, with a whole assembly that has to be torn down and set up every week, with everything that we are here in the desert, as uncomfortable as it is, are you willing to go on this walk, on this journey, to find God, to be transformed, to know Him anew as you've never known Him before, and then go out and find Him a people? To grow the church of Jesus Christ, to ask others to be transformed to a reality that only God can transcend. Today, you're asked, whom shall you serve? Is your mountain trembling? Because if it's not, it should be. Mine has been. And every day I wake up, and every day I consecrate myself. I have to, because I'm preparing to meet a holy God who's changing my life and will change all of us to the glory of Jesus Christ. Are you willing? Are you ready? Because the reality is, from this point forward, we know the law. We know what He wants. We know what sin is. And are we ready to walk the road that lays before us? If you are, join me. If not, we'll walk with you for a little while yet. Because all of us are at a different place. But God is ready and God is wanting. Would you rise with me this day as we bring ourselves before the Lord in prayer and ask Him, Lord, speak to us through your Son who has set us free. Gracious Father, we come before you as the Church of Jesus Christ. And Lord, you have truly, truly blessed us. So I pray, Father, that each of us here would understand that for the first time, we get to see who you really are and how our hands are truly tied. Lord, we've been in your house for years. And yet, Father, we haven't recognized the reality of who we are and what we are, because we want it our way. But Lord, this ain't Burger King. This is your house. And by that, Lord, I do not mean this building. I mean each and every one of our souls. This is your house. You reside here. We are the church. We are your people, chosen by your hand to know your favor. And Father, as you have spoken to us, so too may we speak these words back to you in song and in petition, that by them we may be changed. And then, Lord, going into a world and helping to change it. For you have given us hope, life, love, and eternity. These things we know through your Son, Jesus the Christ. Amen.